case, Dimitri versus Holder. Dimitrov. Ms. Shepard.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Shannon Shepard. I'm here representing Mrs. Georgieva in her appeal of the Board's decision, the Board of Immigration Appeals decision, which upheld the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding and denial of asylum. We are also appealing the Board of Immigration Appeals' denial of the subsequent motion that was filed to remand based on ineffective assistance of counsel. The first issue the record compels a contrary result on is the adverse credibility finding.
You know, given the level of detail in the versions of events in both the application and the testimony at the hearing, what indication could there be that it resulted from a mere communication error?
Well, the written statement, it's important to note, was not signed by Ms. Georgieva. It was written completely in English. I found nothing in the record that indicated that a Bulgarian language version was also submitted, and there was no certified translation. Ms. Georgieva then had her case referred to the immigration court before she had an interview based on the type of case that it was. So there was nothing showing that she had had a chance to review that or that that had been reviewed with her.
But at any point did she provide any indication as to why the version in the application is just so completely different from what she now says happened? And when the IJ asked her to acknowledge the difference, why didn't she try to explain it away?
Your Honor, that is one important point. At the trial, the judge did ask her to confirm that the statement was incorrect. But reading the transcript, it appears that Ms. Georgieva was given the chance to answer the question, but there was not any follow-up questions. And her own attorney at the trial also didn't ask any follow-up questions as to why the statement was different. And that's where the ineffective assistance of counsel claim comes in, and that's where, at the motion to remand stage, Ms. Georgieva did submit her affidavit and her explanation of what had happened and how those statements came to be so different.
You just mentioned the ineffective assistance. Does this claim turn on finding that both the attorneys provided ineffective assistance?
Yes, Your Honor, and the record shows that they did. The first attorney, whether or not he was responsible, it's unclear from the record who actually translated her statement and who prepared that, because, again, it's not verified. It's not signed. There's no certification on that English version of her statement from back in, I believe it was 2003. Then 2011, many years later, when the case finally becomes in front of the immigration judge, the second attorneys had the opportunity and were in the best position to help Ms. Georgieva in directing her how to amend her statement and explain the changes in her statement, and that was not done. So those two things combined have led her to where she is today, which is that the board then disregarded her arguments and her corroborating evidence based on the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding. Now, the adverse credibility finding also, the legal standard for upholding that is that if there are perceived inconsistencies, the respondent, the petitioner in this case, must provide an explanation or corroborating evidence. And due process also requires they be given the opportunity to do that. So the fact that the immigration judge at the trial didn't really give an opportunity to answer any further questions on it, and the trial counsel didn't try to rehabilitate that part, denied her the opportunity to put forward her explanation.
When you say the immigration judge did not provide the opportunity, is it that you wished that there had been additional inquiry beyond what he did make?
Yes, Your Honor, and that may not be the judge's responsibility, but certainly Ms. Gorgueva's own attorney had the opportunity.
Attorney was of the view that an explanation couldn't be forthcoming? I mean, why are we to assume that the attorney should go forward if, in fact, the attorney felt that would not aid? I mean, isn't that also plausible?
That's a fair question, Your Honor. But in this case, based on her later explanations, it shows that the attorney, frankly, didn't do a great job of finding out the answers to those questions and finding out why Ms. Gorgueva's testimony was different and why she was, you know, not remembering the details that were in the written statement, because they were not her details.
As an attorney, wouldn't you be absolutely terrified to ask that question?
If I didn't know the answer, yes, Your Honor. But that's why the trial counsel, you know, perhaps could have done a better job in preparation of finding that, you know, that this wasn't the correct statement. And you're right, it's a tough call to make at the time. Hindsight's always 20/20, but there was an explanation and a careful representation of the client would have discovered that explanation. Additionally, she was given the opportunity to provide some corroborating evidence, which she did, and that was the passport, you know, that verified the dates that she testified to, and the medical reports and things that she had already submitted that verified she had been injured, and her identification card that verified that she was involved with the pro-rights group for the Roma population. So, the immigration judge also ignored or undervalued that corroborating evidence, and then when the case went up to the Board of Immigration Appeals, they also ignored it. They didn't even address it. The Board of Immigration Appeals simply looked at her arguments on the motion to remand and then, you know, said, well, we believe the attorneys, and, you know, that was that. They didn't explain why that hadn't been presented before. The BIA also didn't address both claims of ineffective assistance of counsel. As Judge Rovner had mentioned, the first attorney and the second attorney, the board focused on the second attorney and not the initial part from the first attorney. And that's important because, you know, this court and many other courts have held that you can't always rely on the initial applications, that there are, unfortunately, some unscrupulous preparers out there, be they lawyers or non-lawyers. And in this case, I think the strong evidence that this statement was not reviewed with her was that it was in English and was not signed and translated. And the application indicated that she did not speak English at the time. Later, when the case finally came to trial, she spoke some English. She still used an interpreter. But, you know, that was 8 years later. So at that point, you know, it would be expected that she would probably have learned some English.
What would be possible indications of inadequacy with regard to the first counsel?
The written statement itself, that it was not translated and certified.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Shepard. No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Just the first attorney's ineffective assistance would have been submitting the statement that wasn't verified and didn't have a certified translation.
It's such a detailed statement. Would the suggestion be that was made up by the attorney?
Some of the portions of the statement do mirror her story. It seems like some of the details were embellished, which could have been a role of a translator who maybe thought they were helping the case by by making it seem more brutal, but in fact they ended up hurting the case.
Let me tell you what gives me pause. There may well be a reason for the variance. I could speculate on it. I suspect you have too. That has nothing to do with counsel, but with how one wanted to present the facts, and upon reflection may have wanted to change that. But even if that's the case, we have a. How do we get beyond the immigration judge concluding off of those two variances that there's a credibility problem?
Because, Your Honor, the respondent or the petitioner in this case never had an interview or had never otherwise testified as to the first written statement. Her testimony, is consistent with country conditions. It's plausible. It's verified by some of the documents that she submitted. And the inconsistencies were explained, even though she wasn't given the opportunity at the trial. They were explained in the BIA's, in the motion to remand to the BIA. And I see my time is up.
I'll allow you some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Bai.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Catherine Bai on behalf of the United States Attorney General. This petition for review should be denied.
Could I ask you to just raise your voice a little?
Sure.
You're in front of a recording device, not an amplifying one.
Okay. So. I apologize.
Thank you.
This petition should be denied because there are glaring and irreconcilable inconsistencies between her testimony and her written statement that go to the heart of her sex trafficking claim and thus support the agency's adverse credibility determination. This is a pre-Real ID Act case, which means that any inconsistencies that the IJ or the board find must go to the heart of her claim. And here, the IJ cited four specific reasons that were highly detailed and completely irreconcilable. And in so doing, then gave her the opportunity to try to explain. She claims now that she didn't have a meaningful opportunity, but she was given an opportunity both by affirming the contents of her application that she submitted, and she was represented. Her attorneys had the chance and did amend some portions of the claim. And then in four pages of the record, the IJ herself is actually going through and states that she wanted to make sure there was an opportunity for Ms. Georgieva to explain away these inconsistencies. She is now claiming that she didn't really understand English and she didn't have a meaningful opportunity to understand what was going on. But in three places in her submissions to the board, in her brief to the board, in her attached affidavit to the board, and in her motion to remand to the board, it is discussed that she is the one who noticed. In reading the translation of her own statement, she's the one who noticed the glaring inconsistencies and then decided to do something about it. So if she's the one who is saying that, to say that she was then listening to her attorney make merely a couple date and address corrections before the court and not knowing that that wasn't also correcting these other glaring inconsistencies is just simply... There's nothing here that compels reversal of a totally reasonable determination.
What response did her attorneys give to the contention that they provided ineffective assistance? Do you know?
The first attorney who helped her with her application, there's nothing in the record showing his response at all, but any ineffective assistance on his part is pretty much irrelevant because the next set of attorneys could have cured anything that he may or may not have done wrong. She was then represented at trial by three attorneys in the De Caleta firm, and all three of them provided affidavits, which are all found in the record, noting somewhere each of them says a different number, but between the three of them, they met with her at least five times, which included four separate mock trials that lasted for 2 hours or more, where they went over with her you know, the how the case was going to proceed, went through any perceived inconsistencies, addressed with her, you know, how to proceed with this. None of them state that she told them that there were errors in the statement, but they all noted that throughout all of this prep, she seemed confused and, quote, forgetful, quote, unsure, and they, I think they proceeded as best they could. And given that, because she had an already unbelievable claim, the IJ did reasonably ask her to corroborate her claim, and it is not quite correct that the IJ didn't consider her corroborating evidence. In fact, the IJ considered all of it and, in fact, credited the corroborating evidence that supported parts of her claim, but found that there was nothing to corroborate the inconsistencies that go to the heart of her claim. The IJ was still left wondering, you know, why there were all these glaring inconsistencies in this sex trafficking claim. If there are no further questions, the court should deny the petition.
Bye.
Thank you.
Ms. Shepherd, you may have an additional minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just respond that, again, the trial counsel attorneys were in the best position to resolve these inconsistencies. And they all that they did was focus on two dates, which really were not at the heart of the claim. They were just dates that perhaps had been mistyped. To put the burden on Ms. Gorgeva to speak up in court when she's being questioned by the judge and was probably told by her attorneys that, you know, we'll ask the questions, we'll give the chance to rehabilitate anything, that's ineffective assistance of counsel. So for that reason, I think it is very important to credit her explanations and her reasoning in the motion to remand, and to also therefore credit her testimony and the fact that she did suffer past persecution and should be granted asylum.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Shepherd. Thank you, Ms. Bai. The case is taken under advisement.